So this is the second in the Scar series. So first of all, thanks to 17 for having us, and to Elsie and Barry for all the support and organising it. I also want to thank Fiona, who unfortunately just texted me to say she flew, who's the artist of the exhibition, so I hope you enjoy that one here as well, and for hosting his work sort of the back of the residency in Canada. And to acknowledge Ian Irving, who also unfortunately can't be here, who runs Guest of Grace for supporting the series, and really his writing on the curatorial kind of spurred me on thinking about feminist response, which is essential today. Thank Beth Donofsky from the Creative Learning Team somewhere, who has helped organise the event and also extended the invitation to Sinead and Donald Dunn, who will be coming to speak about the Scottish Artists Union and the presentations as well. And she's also here to help facilitate the discussion, lively discussion I'm sure we're going to be having. So I also need to acknowledge Aberdeen City Council, Creative Scotland, and finally Robert Gordon University for supporting my research and for supporting this event, which is really themed around questions of support and also questions of visibility. We're already having some visibility issues with sunshine. So when I say support, what I mean is all the networks and systems and work, maybe say care work, that make the more visible parts of artistic practice possible. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of context for the event. The event's based around a feminist reading of the curatorial that I took inspiration from a paper that a Vienna-based curator called Bethel Krasny presented in Edinburgh around about this time last year. So what she suggested in talking about curating was an alternative genealogy from the one that she identifies as kind of like the heroic single curator figure who organises everything. So instead of that, she introduced the idea of care and collectivity. And she used Suzanne Lacey's International Dinner Party event in 1979 as kind of a paradigm for this different form of curating. So it seems like a moment of really lucky synchronicity that Krasny is opening an exhibition in Zurich today, same day as this, around Suzanne Lacey's dinner party. And what she's doing, she's looking at Suzanne Lacey's dinner party in relationship to four practices, four feminist kind of collective practices that are current now, and one of those practices is Redmine Collective. And we're very lucky to have Dunja Popovic here today from Redmine. So she's going to talk about how Redmine operates. So what I was interested in when I invited them was that they operate from what's called the Bring In, Take Out, Living Archive. So this is a sort of continuously moving, collaborative, archive, exhibition, interactive environment. I think the group term it a loud feminist space. So the idea is the space is there for creating possibilities, for new perspectives, new emancipated perspectives, and different ways of imagining the reality that we have now. So the living archive shifts between the politics of social movement and the politics of common knowledge, and it's a paradigm for generating public space. And I think especially at this time, public space is something we're losing and we are valuing. And it's also a paradigm for new forms of socialisation. I'm also particularly keen to learn about how the collective operates in the post-Yugoslav context with little support from official sources or from our market to speak of. So why feminism here in the context of the Northeast? When I moved here 2 years ago and started researching the area, I had a number of discussions about the issue of visibility. So there are lots of innovative practices and projects in the area, but maybe partially because of a different economy of scale, they were a little bit hidden from view. Equally, there was a feeling that creativity went unrecognised in the wider kind of central belt narrative of Scotland. And more broadly, the northeast was an area of Scotland that was falling off the map. So this question of visibility was a really strong part of current dialogues around the art scene, and it seemed for this reason worth bringing in a feminist perspective. Particularly to invite Adele Patrick, who's been working tirelessly in the Glasgow context to achieve greater representation of female artists. So one example was this, particularly by spearheading what was called the Women in Profile campaign in Glasgow in the 90s, which was kind of working with this idea that the mainstream city of culture narrative was exclusively male, so looking at an alternative story. So through initiatives like the Women in Profile, Adele worked on projects like Castle Rock Women House, which I've been researching in the archives there at Glasgow Women's Library. So Castle Rock Women House looked beyond conventional institutional support systems to locate art in very different places, like Castle Rock housing estate. So the project's also acknowledgement of the invisible support work that makes creativity possible. Adele is a creative learning director at Glasgow Women's Library, which she's a founding member. And that project is really also about reimagining what a library space can be, and it supports many, many artists, and also me as a researcher for a long time, so thanks for that. So the event's really about care and support, which I've talked a little bit about in relation to Prezi. So in relation to the whole series, it's also themed around questions of hospitality. So the choice of the theme for the series of events in the Middle East was to try and think differently about the construction and narrative of this place. So I just wanted to talk about how the North East needed its own story to get on the map and things. So I guess I'm recognising that Aberdeen is an oil city and it's consequently a migration city, and that acknowledging this allows us to think that maybe there isn't one narrative for this place but multiple narratives. So what role does hospitality play in the meeting with and listening for other narratives? I would argue that it's central to that. And from the point of this event, it's much about acknowledging the kind of invisible material labour involved in active hospitality as it is in acknowledging the care work that goes into curating. So you've got those two powerful things that I acknowledge. And for that reason, I invited Merlin, standing at the back there, to set up this wonderful tea room for us. She's got a wealth of experience in the area as a socially engaged artist and also as a curator of unusual meals and events. So she will be speaking to you a little bit more about that. So I'm just going to end by telling you the format for the day. So we've got two 20-minute presentations from Adele and Dunja, and in that time there'll be a chance for you to ask questions and talk through those practices, and then Sinead is going to speak to us about Scottish Artists Union and their own practice as well. And the idea is that that's going to lead on to hopefully a discussion where you can also speak and we can try and exchange views about practices in this context and how the presentations might be relevant or intersect with the things that we've heard or how they might be different. And the idea is we can try and use this as a practical organising space as well, and the Scottish Artists Union are kind of like triggered for that too. So the aim is to try and create a space of exchange. And then the second part, Merlin will introduce and invite you to tea, and that's a chance for these discussions to go on in the other space of the tea room as well. I'm just going to also hand over to Sherry now to tell you a little bit about SCAN before.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. That's a really great intro. I'm really looking forward to all the speeches. I'm just going to say a really quick few words about SCAN for anyone who doesn't know about the organisation. I'll be here all day, so if you want to come and talk to me afterwards, please do. So I'm Shona Daly, and I'm the coordinator of SCAN. That's the Scottish Contemporary Art Network. SCAN is a member-led organisation that was set up by a group of people within the sector to represent them and deliver a range of research, professional development and advocacy activities on the sector's behalf. So we're really happy to support this series of events programmed by Caroline in partnership with Robert Gordon University, and it's supported by Aberdeen City Council and Creative Scotland. So our first event in Aberdeen back in 2013, there was a real identified need for the participants in that event of events like this, which was providing an opportunity to bring people together out with other established institutions to discuss and debate contemporary practice and curating, and also to help raise the profile of the different types of practices that do exist right across the country. I think attendance at the first two events has shown that there's a real desire for it, and the first two events, the first event went really well, and I'm sure today went really well as well. I really hope we'll be able to continue and develop on an ongoing basis as well, so thanks again for all coming. So Sky is a membership organisation, so without doing a total plug for it, we do have about 130 members spread right across Scotland. There's various benefits, I suppose, to joining the organisation, but most importantly at the moment is a commitment from people who join to help develop SCAN, which is still a relatively young organisation, and to grow into a kind of strong lobbying voice, an effective representative body for the contemporary art sector. So if you're interested in hearing more about it, come and speak to me, and I'll send information out to everybody that's signed up with the email addresses after the event. I think importantly is about of Karen's talk there about support and care, for us to be an informed advocate for the sector, we need to understand that variety of practice that does exist across Scotland, out by the very strong narratives that might come out of the central belt. So these types of events are really important for us so that we can develop and maintain that knowledge about the different varieties of practice that exist. So yeah, I'm sure it'll be a great event and enjoy it. I'll let you go on to the interesting bit there.
Just want to welcome Adele.
Really a pleasure to be here, and I'm really quite anticipating. I'm trying not to think about buns and distracted by such things. It's art. So thanks ever so much. I'm really delighted to be here, really excited to hear about your work, what you're doing, and to get an opportunity to network with some of the amazing people in the room. I'm hoping that I might cover things that trigger folks' ideas that can maybe synergize with some of the things that you're trying to do in your own practice or as collectives or whatever in this setting. But I just thought that it might be helpful to drop on some little moments in over the last 24 years of a developing project in Glasgow that started off as Women in Profile, as Caroline says, and is now Glasgow Women's Library, and we're just at a really critical point in our development as we have applied for something called a Recognised Collection of National Significance, which means that we'll become a national resource. So one of the things my colleague Maura, who's sitting over there, might be able to sort of network with you about is how what I'm going to speak about today might be more directly of relevance to you. So what would you want from a national women's library in the future? How might you use it? Especially since our organisation, right from its very origins, has been a project that has been developed through the agency of collaborative art practice. It was generated by a bunch of women creatives, including myself. So people who are involved in visual arts practice and writers and filmmakers and so on and so forth. But in lots and lots of intervals in this particular project's development, it's been the agency of artists that has actually helped with the almost like the iterative process of deciding where we are with this project, what relevance does it have to women, how can we move it forward. So it's impossible to imagine this project without artists involved in it. So I'm just going to make sure that I now have to... Yes! Right, I now have to move it. So that's the last technical worry that I had. Okay, so please use your imagination. We just said a little shadowy representation here, but hopefully you'll get an idea of some of the visual sort of content of what I wanted to get across today. So the Women's Library started off, as I say, in its first incarnation. It was a project called Women in Profile, as Caroline's mentioned. And the trigger for that was really relevant to some of the themes that Caroline mentioned there about how a city perceives itself and what it actually says to the world about what that place is about and what happens in that particular context. So about in the Red Act is there was a decision made by the city fathers that, and I mean city fathers, it was definitely fathers who were in the driving seat at that time, that Glasgow would be a European city of culture. And I think myself and a few of the women thought, well, what are the people of the Guardians of Culture going to present in Glasgow at that particular time? Because it was a representative of culture and the arts for this European audience. And we reckon that it might be white, pale Lansdale and bearded people who would be doing that, and not hipster beards. Gorgeous beards, we are going to have more of some old style, other types of beards. So we thought it would be great if there was beards and women and people of colour and all different people representing Glasgow during 1990. So we got together to organise something called Women in Profile, and this is our salubrious first premises with no windows, no phone, rats and various other horrid things. And we were hugely overambitious and thought, what can we do? So it's almost like the type of discussions that are happening now in Glasgow with young women and other women and here. And, you know, it's a sort of wonderful crucible for opportunities and how we're going to make a mark and do something different. So as Caroline says, one of the it's a wide range of things that we ended up doing in 1990, including film season and a history of Glasgow Women's Aid, interpreted by a woman artist, and millions of different things. And it included this sort of quite juvenile, wonderful project called Castlemont Woman House. Many of you will be aware of woman houses that had happened before this woman house. So we were thinking about, well, California's lovely, Castlemont, it's going to be a different type of woman house there. So how can we actually engage with women in Castlemilk? How can we grow something there that's going to be absolutely massively impactful and relevant to women in this setting? And I don't want to spend too much time on it. I could speak a lot about it. I was not one of the coordinators of this project. I was sort of like involved in Women in Profile generally and helping with the management and care and development of that project. But there was three coordinators, and Kathy Wilkes, Julia Roberts, and Rachel Harris were the real movers and the dynamos that developed this project. But I'm going to return to this sort of like later on in the presentation, but it's an interesting project, and there's material on our website about this project. But there's a project that now we're thinking about in terms of the investment of work, labour, the costs of this for all the women involved and the benefits and so on, and how that's accounted for now that it's history. You know, this is something that took place over two decades ago. So just sort of thinking about Julia's work as well and the work that's been developed that looks at histories and memory and records and so on, right at the outset, we were really conscious that part of our project should definitely be about saving, salvaging, sort of like working against the erasure, the constant erasure of women's histories and work and so on and so forth. So we very naively, hugely ambitiously, ridiculously idealistically called ourselves the Scottish Women Artists and Writers Archive. Mm-hmm. You know, we have no resources, we have nothing, no archivists, no wages or anything like that. For 7 years, we didn't have any papers, so it was ridiculous, laughable to do this, but actually it's come about. So one thing that I would say is that why not? Why not be bold and claim this type of language? So that was around the corner from the little hovel that you saw earlier on. We decided to build this first women's library. You can't see very clearly on this image, but if you use your imagination and also visit the library, visit the website, you'll get a better idea of how these images work. But I just wanted to sort of put them up here because people might think, well, who visits a women's library? What does that person look like? So that person, there is no typical library. Years and member visitor. I'm mentioning this because what we like to aim towards in the Women's Library is sustaining, nurturing, and developing what we call our special ingredient, which is a difficult alchemical thing, but it's very much about women who have very, very different backgrounds, women who have no cultural capital to speak of, women who are incredibly wide-ranging cultural capital, rubbing shoulders together with the occasional guy who likes to come in the Women's Library and we welcome to have programmes, but principally women who are meeting each other and working together and getting to know each other and sharing skills and so on, often through the Around an Arts project. So, for example, this image is an image by the photographer Rachel Spotter-Munley, and she, at the point of relocation of the library, we invited her to make portraits of random women who came in the Women's Library with their favourite book and in a favourite place in the library. And we didn't know how that would progress necessarily. Obviously, we knew immediately if we said to a woman, choose one book, that she would defy us and choose nine, two, or whatever, or fanzines, or whatever. So anyway, but what we got, 70-odd portraits, tremendous hybridity, represented by Yasmin, who chooses Women in Islam and Bridget Jones's Diary. You can't second guess what people are going to be interested in or where their interest creatively and culturally are going to take them. So we're hugely ambitious for the women who come in the library. So we are really excited about that and how art and culture can actually fast track people to hugely more engaged participation, citizenship, and lives. You know, we really, really do believe in that. So we are not only sort of working with artists, but we're working with lots of different partners and projects. And I showed you the sort of toddler years, some images of the toddler year. This is one where teenage tantrum years in the Trongate area of Glasgow, where we're going through a transition into an organisation that employs people. So that's a different thing, you know. So again, projects that are here in various states of gestation, some projects might be 100 years old, 50 years old, 10 years old, or just growing. For us, it was a really, really critical point when we started employing people and still have volunteers and have, and all that type of stuff. But we, at that time, we started really having a dialogue with some partners in the, as it were, mainstream art world. So this is a very important moment for us. Rule of Thumb, Elbow Room, Barbara Kruger visits the library at this point. Hello, Barbara. come in, enjoy Glasgow. That was amazing. But 2003, Rule of Thumb, GAMMA starts to sort of change its culture, really, and starts looking at human rights stuff, violence against women stuff. So for us in the Women's Library, it was definitely about taking an opportunity to work with a partner like that and engage some of the, as it were, hard-to-reach women that we work with in this type of practice with these organisations. So we started off this project, which has now got a new incarnation, about a year old, that's now funded, called Seeing Things, where we take women to see stuff. So if you're doing something and you want a group of women to come and see it, let us know and they'll come and see it. But these are women who haven't normally been to see things. So it's a really great project. But we were experimenting with it here. And I mention that because sometimes it takes years for something to gestate into something that becomes funded or whatever. So, as I say, we're working with lots of different groups. We're working with artists. We're working with adult literacy and numeracy learners, ESOL learners, and really looking at, we work with homeless women, we work with women in prisons, and so on and so forth. So there's something like the Rule of Thumb project. We ended up working with artists and writers, and we're thinking, how can we work with adult literacy and numeracy learners and our texts and this issue of violence against women and so on and so forth? And some of the things that came up, often generated by the participants or learners themselves, were sublime ideas. And I think one of the sublime ideas that were suggested by one of the learners was spine poems. So this is a poem by a literacy learner who, for whatever reason, is not able to read all the books, but knows from the titles of the books if that's resonating with her life and the lives of other women that she knows. And then she holds them together on a photocopier, and we've got a beautiful haiku type style of poem. And that is exhibited in the Gallery of Modern Art, which for us, we're like, Gallery of Modern Art, right, okay, we'll do it, you know, part of the deal. But for the women, it's like, shh, up, you know, the opening with all the have members, and for them, it's the biggest deal that they're going to show work in the Gallery of Modern Art and so on and so forth. So lots of different little moments. Just not particularly good image, but just to say, we had a little space in the second incarnation of this sort of Violence Against Women project in the Gallery of Modern Art, and at that point women were collecting from our archive, which had grown and grown and grown, the collection's now enormous, images of women brandishing their hand in the air, you know, like looking at these moments which are local, you know, that local women can do this, but women have been doing this for one reason or another all over the world for centuries, you know, culling things from the archive, again, that doesn't require massive amounts of research and reading. We are always acknowledging the barriers that there are for the fullest participation in our work, and this how difficult it is to get this interface between women who don't have a lot of cultural capital and artists in the art world and the art vernaculars. So in this instance, we're working with South Asian women and trying to capture some histories about migration to Glasgow by migrant women in the first waves of South Asian migration to Glasgow, but again, use an artist, you know, to sort of broker that relationship and that dialogue. So a fantastic South Asian artist, Sadiq Gul, worked with groups of women who we got to actually make a composite of the homes that they left to come to Glasgow. So they actually made this space. Of course, as they're making it, they're telling us about it, so we're capturing those oral histories, and then there's a book, and so on and so forth. So I'm just sort of trying to drop on moments where artists have actually brought something that's been a solution to maybe a problem that we have in the Women's Library about engagement and participation, and that they can come up with the most exquisite solutions to problems that will fox our development workers or the managers or whatever. We try and work a lot with artists who are practiced or have got a desire to collaborate and speak to people and listen to people and make work that's meaningful to everybody involved rather than but you know what I mean, that type of like that personal sort of career driven thing. It has to be something that is authentic and meaningful and resonant. And this image here is the world's longest shelf, I'm sure, but on the shelf are hundreds and hundreds of books, blue-spined books written by women. And this artist, Sean McMullen, we've worked with her a few times, and she came to work with us with a woman who's Nikki Bird. Nikki Bird worked with the archive, Sean McMullen worked with the library. And Shauna really reflected on the way that our libraries come together. Another way that it's special ingredient is that every text in the library has been donated. So unlike your local library or the uni library or whatever other libraries, our libraries, people have got a very different relationship with the text because they've donated them. Everything has been donated. So she took this idea and she asked women to give us a blue spine book written by a woman, and then she made an artwork really. This was about us thinking about the idea of a more permanent public artwork. In Glasgow, there's only one statue of a Scottish woman. In Edinburgh, I think there's only one. In fact, there's more statues of dogs in Edinburgh than there are of women. So we knew about that, and we were thinking it would be great if there was a public artwork for women, but not a woman on a horse or a pencil or whatever. So we'll ask these two artists to think about the archive, think about the library, think about our new relocation to a new space, and we thought it would be great to have an artwork. So this is almost like a brief for a future public artwork. As Caroline mentioned earlier on, we've had a lodestone at the heart of the library, or the women profile, all those years ago was Castle Women's House, and lots of things happen there that just keep threading their way through our history, you know, different types of practice and ideas and so on and so forth. And we had an opportunity to formally revisit that during the Generation programme. I don't know how many people here came across the Generation, Susan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a reflection on the last 25 years of Scottish art. And again, completely brass-necked, we contacted them, the powers that be or whatever, and said, we've been going 25 years, and we had a really important show all those years ago, 25 years ago, and actually some of the artists who were involved in it are now in the pantheon of the best Scottish artists, so Cathy, Claire Bartley, Sam Ainsley, some remarkable women were in the Woman House doing this stuff, so why not claim this as one of the most significant things? So they said, yes, we could be in the show, which was amazing. So we got a chance to work with another artist that we've worked with a couple of times, Kate Davis. She didn't know about Woman House, and she grappled with a collection. Again, lots of this work is about working with the archivists and the librarians and so on, and actually worked with a collection and exhibited the collection, works on the archiving of some of the items, and then create new work that reflected on Castle Mott Woman House. And we had a chance to invite back in women who had not only the artists, but the participants as well, including a girl who was 8 when she was using the Woman House the first time around. And it was just amazing thinking about Anne's work from God knows how many years ago now, working in public and looking at laces. There's a laces sort of longitudinal reflection on the work. We had a little mini example of asking people how it impacted on them, you know, in 1990 to go in the Woman House, and it was unbelievably moving and positive and so validating for the artists involved to hear that some people, it was the best time that they'd had and that they'd kept things all those years. Amazing. So about archiving, but also unearthing a lot of stuff, you know, about how people felt about the labour involved in that when we were all unpaid, you know, all that type of stuff. The show, again, you'll see it on the website, but this is our new home. And I'm happy to say, Morag is my witness, we are now a grown-up organisation. We're adults. We do things properly, but we also do loads of things we probably shouldn't do, like all these people are sitting down in the space that probably should be so much less. But this is a recent event that we had, again, a collaborative one with MAP. And we had, it's called Feminist Chorus. Please check it out on their website. We've just got a marvellous publication. But these were women, including women with a lot of cultural capital, women artists, women historians, but also women who are learning English as a second language, literacy learners, who had been at them myself. I'm in there. They've been asked to select a text from the Women's Library to read out. And then the artist, Lucy Reynolds, conducted us. You know, so it's called the Feminist Chorus, and we all speak like this, and it's recorded, and it's a thing of beauty. And it got us into, journalised, but anyway, the world famous art journal. We just can't believe how these things happen. But the American Art Review, or whatever, I can't remember what it is. But anyway, the main thing is that it was an exquisite thing, beautiful thing in the library, and the type of work that we're now doing. Very, very quickly, just to sort of say, current projects that are you might want to check out on the website, you might want to visit. We got a grant from Sarah Munro, head of visual arts in Glasgow, runs a tramway to do a project called Artist in Residence for the Women of Glasgow. and it was built on the idea of Frankie Raffles' practice and on the idea of Ajit Prop, act up styly, great, graphically powerful work. So we were working with this amazing woman artist called Mandy McIntosh. Unbelievably, she's back in Castlemark. The project is about working in Castlemark, working in Glasgow. She's there, and she's building, basically, this week, it's Woman House all over again. It's quite amazing. And there are women coming in who went to the original Woman House. So this is an amazing project. She's been making these fabulous hoardings right outside the Women's Library where we're doing a million quid's worth of development work on the building, so it's going to be a gorgeous space. Come and see it as soon as you can. But speaks about violence against women. It's been involving a lot of local women. She's working with women in Castlemark. She's working on bridges next to the law courts. Go and have a look at the amazing work there. Very, very politically engaged. Very participatory, as all our work is. And just because I can't resist, a couple of weekends ago, we worked with another partner over a period of about 18 months, the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, on a major public artwork called March of Women. If you weren't there, you missed yourselves, because it was completely, utterly amazing. 120 women with professional actors in the Women's Library, reenacting a suffragette pageant, and then marching out of the library to Glasgow Green, and occupying that space. We've made a film about it, so come to the film launch. But again, working on all the registers that we love the most, which is women, always in this trajectory of history, so mining the archive and the library as much as we possibly can to try and make that material as relevant and as current and as live for women as possible, but encouraging active citizenship at the same time. I think that might be the last image. Oh yes, can you imagine? Who would imagine that? But anyway, yeah, lots of these women never performed before, never been involved in art before. One final thing to say is that in lots of the images, I was struck by the fact that Sarah Munro was the tramway woman that I mentioned earlier on. Some women came on the final day that performed in this, and she was one of them. And to see Sarah Munro, who's got massive cultural capital, next to a local woman from us in Bridgeton, where we're now based, and Sarah asking a local woman to help her because she was, you know, like, where do I go, what do I do? And this sort of idea of defying this idea of cultural capital, because it was a local woman who had been to all the rehearsals, had done all the research, had been involved in the project for the last year, and then other women arriving who had invited her to come late in the day. There's this lovely sort of mixture of confidence levels and capital and women sharing, supporting each other. You know, that is what we're aiming for that sharing of expertise and supporting each other and so on and so forth. So, as I said, there'll be film made of this, which will be an art filmmaker is making this film, so it's not just a documentary film. So, I think that might be the... Oh, yeah. Just one hours. I won't say anything about that. You can have a look at it. I've brought it. But, yeah, 21 artists, 21 writers making work related to the collection. I think I'll leave it at that, because I'm sure I've overrun and taken up as I'm leaving. But lots more to talk about. But thank you guys so much for listening to it. Snapshot that GWR. Thank you very much.
Any questions? But of course, there's going to be time for discussion, and also anyone who has questions that they want to take.